Welcome to the Driverless Crocodile Podcast.
Our theme for season one is ordinary people, good work. In each episode, we'll talk to someone normal, someone you've probably never heard of, who does work they think is important, does it pretty well, and is trying to do it better. In today's special episode, we're doing a tribute to the Cool Tools podcast by Kevin Kelly and Mark Fraunfelder. We're calling today's episode Useful Things with Driverless Crocodile, and our guest today is Victoria Patience. Victoria is a translator and editor based outside Buenos Aires. She also happens to be my sister. Hello, V.
Hello.
And welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm thrilled to be on.
So let's get straight into your tools. The first one I'd like to talk about is the Hori Hori knife. Am I saying that right?
As far as I know, because I don't think I've ever actually pronounced it to anyone else, but I use it almost every day. If you do anything at all that involves earth, be that gardening, be that planting things in a small pot in your balcony, anything that involves you coming into contact with earth, then you need a Hori Hori knife.
Describe what the knife looks like?
Yes. Okay. So the Hori Hori knife is about just under the blade of the knife. So it's a knife with a long stainless steel blade that is about 30 centimetres, possibly a bit shorter than 30 centimetres, with a wooden handle. The blade is straight. How can I explain this? It is straight but concave. So it's not curved like a cheese knife, for instance, or or other kinds of I can't remember the names, or a sickle.
It looks a little bit like the love child of a Rambo knife and a garden trowel. Is that exactly right?
So it has so it's quite wide, I would say possibly 6 centimeters across and probably 25 centimeters long. That goes straight down like a ruler, except that it's concave and both of its edges are serrated, and really serrated. I have injured myself on repeated occasions with the Hori Hori knife because it is very sharp. And it has a pointed end as well. So basically you use this for digging, planting, weeding especially. It's the only hand weeding tool that you need. Because it combines the digging effect of a trowel with the cutting action of a serrated knife on the side going down through the soil.
So for cutting through pointedness roots, at the bottom. This kind of thing?
Say again?
For cutting through the roots of weeds, that kind of stuff. Is there anything it's really particularly good for? Like, is there a problem that it solves for you that no other trowel or knife has solved? Is it just better than anything else?
Okay, the thing that I like about it is that it solves many problems. So you can have it in a sheath on your gardening belt or on your gardening tool belt, and it does a whole lot of jobs that you would otherwise need several tools for. It is particularly good at getting out tough weeds with long roots, like say dandelions, that kind of thing. But I use it more than anything for planting. So for planting seedlings, in a couple of seconds I can kind of work my way down a 2 meter bed, making holes that would take much longer if you were using a dibber or a trowel or whatever. I can make the hole and stick it in.
I noticed that it has like a depth gauge, or the one I'm looking at has a depth gauge on one side.
It does.
And do you use that, or do you plant more by feel?
I do not, but you could. I do everything kind of more by feel, but it does indeed have a depth gauge, so you could theoretically make all of your holes the same depth, or work out, I don't know, how deep where the moisture was coming up to in your soil, that kind of thing. But that's not a functionality of the knife that I use much.
And for those new to gardening or agriculture, could you just fill us in on you mentioned a dibber?
Yeah, a dibber is basically a pokey stick that you use to poke holes in to plant seeds.
I think it was once.
It was once a revolutionary technology, I believe.
It was indeed, and it is indeed useful. But I find this more useful.
Very interesting. So last of all, just tell me a little bit about the belt sheath. Yeah, I was interested in that. I like the idea of, you know, you can kind of wear this thing around town.
How do you
use the sheath? How do you feel when you wear it?
Okay, so as far as I know, I've sent you a link to the Hori Hori knife. I have, as far as I understand,
we'll put that in the show notes.
Is a style of knife rather than a brand of knife. So I sent you the link to the one that I bought. I haven't tried out any others, so I don't know if this one is better. It has lasted a long time, and I am not good at keeping my tools the way our father taught us to, out of the humidity and all of those things. And yet my knife has survived mistreatment for 3 years and is in absolutely perfect condition. So it is good quality. But there are much more expensive ones on the market. This one costs about $40 Australian.
And it is the Barnell model B1070, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And the sheath it came with for the $40 is not of the same superior quality as the knife. So it came with a sheath that you can wear on a tool belt, but the aforementioned highly serrated edge of the knife quickly cut through part of the sheath, thereby rendering it somewhat not quite so useful.
A little bit of a health and safety hazard there for one's budget.
Yeah, so if you buy this knife, I would totally recommend it. You might want to make or buy a better sheath for it. I have seen other knives on websites that other Hori Hori knives that cost about twice the price of this one and seem to come with much higher quality leather sheaths. But yeah, the idea is that the sheath is just like a sword sheath, knife sheath, except it has a little sort of toggle thing with a popper button around the top. Uh-huh. So that you can, hold it in.
And it has wide belt loops. Just I suppose living in Argentina, you'll soon be getting a fantastic artisanal leather sheath made for your Hori Hori knife. But are those loops
wide? I haven't thought about it. Yes. Yes, it's wide enough to go. I use it on a sort of general purpose tool belt, but I have to say that belt does not have a particularly wide belt. So I would need to get back to you on that. But either
Great.
Way, I would need to buy a better knife sheath. But the knife itself, that particular brand, I have found no fault with.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's move on to to another tool. Okay, how about the wallet app?
So this is one of my two digital tool selections for today. Okay, so Wallet is an expense tracker app. It has some other functions as well, but that is its main function is an expense tracker. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I like it and the reason it's very useful for me might not make it useful for everyone, but people who are in my particular situation, mm-hmm. this is made for them, which is if you hold accounts in multiple currencies, doesn't matter really if they're in multiple countries, but if they're in multiple currencies and you receive payments and make payments from those accounts and have a hard time keeping track at any one point at how much money you have, how much money is coming in and how much money is going out because of the complexity of multiple accounts and multiple currencies, then mm-hmm. Wallet is the app for you. So Wallet is a paid app that's made by Budget Bakers. That's the name of the company, the software company.
Yeah.
I think that I found it just by Googling multi-currency app and tried it and really liked it. Multi-currency wallet.
How does it work?
Okay, like, it works is this. There are some countries and some bank accounts which allow you to link your bank account directly to Wallet. I don't have accounts in those countries or with those banks, so I do this mm-hmm. all manually. So what you do is Wallet allows you to set up, to tell it all of the places, all of your accounts that you have, and that includes an account for cash, which is the money that is literally in your wallet. So I, for example, have an account in the UK, and I have an account in Australia, and I have not one but two accounts here in Argentina with two different banks. One of which is in pesos and one of which is in US dollars. Mm-hmm. So I tell Wallet about those different apps, about those different accounts. All mm-hmm. that involves doing is me giving each account a name, assigning it the color, and telling Wallet what currency it is. And then I put when you set it up at the beginning, you put a starting balance in each of those accounts. So that's the only time when you actually have to go to your bank account and find out how much money is in there, look in your wallet, how much money, mm-hmm. put it all in. And then from that point forward, every time you spend money, you can enter the expense. It is very easy and very intuitive not only to enter the expense, assign it a category, but also to say which account it's coming out of. It's also easy to transfer, to tell Wallet that you've transferred money between your two accounts, including from one currency to another. So for example, if I sell US dollars in Argentina, and I do that online and transfer the pesos that I buy with the US dollars I've sold into from my US dollar account into my Argentinian peso account, mm-hmm. I can tell Wallet about that. I can adjust the exchange rate. It'll suggest.
Yeah. So tell me, does it do exchange rates automatically?
Yeah, right? It does exchange rates, but you can adjust the amount you actually got, because generally it's not quite the same as the rate that it's drawing on, which I'm not sure where it's getting it from. If it's from Google Finance or somewhere.
You mentioned how much money is in your wallet, meaning your physical wallet. Do you use it for cash?
Yeah, I do. I do. I now this has really, really changed my ability to keep track of my spending, and to forecast spending, and at the end of the month to make a budget for the next month, because I can export all of the expenses that I've logged, and I log everything, like including spending a dollar on whatever, a newspaper or whatever it is that you pay for with cash, and you can export those records as a CSV file. And so I could very quickly make my budget for the next month. I can even enter the totals if I wanted to into an Excel if I was then tracking it every month.
Now, I am terrible at, I normally go for about a month when I'm tracking my expenses and then, you know, quickly kind of lose it. Is there a way to reconcile, you know, so if you suddenly go, okay, I've missed 4 days, but I had 50 bucks in my wallet and now I have 15. Can you kind of just enter that difference and somehow reconcile the bit in the middle?
Yeah, there's two ways of doing it. You can either enter a dummy expense and just say, you know, $45 on stuff, or you can reset your balances. So yes, you can. You can tweak it.
And
the other thing as well is that you nominate in the beginning, you nominate a base currency. So the currency, I mean, I use pesos for that, but the currency that maybe that you're living your life in or that you want to project your earnings in or whatever, so that at any one point you can highlight all your accounts and see a consolidated position of approximately how much money you have in total in the world in your base currency. And there's all kinds of other reporting functions and graphic displays that it has that, frankly, I don't use, but they are there in the app.
And how long have you been using Wallet?
I have been using it for 2.5 months, and I feel no desire to stop tracking my expenses.
So it's still pretty new, but I think if you get past the 2 month mark and it still seems like it's working well, I think that's pretty good going in terms of you're getting the habit with it.
And it's very, very easy. I mean, to the point where I'm out doing the grocery shopping with my children, and it literally takes a second to enter each expense in. I don't feel guilty that I have, interrupted a conversation with them to enter an expense, because it takes me so little time. It remembers, you know, you type the first letter of the shop or whatever the type of thing, I don't know, green grocers or whatever, mm-hmm. you type the G, and it's already giving you different predictions for the things that you most commonly enter with that. The begin with that letter. So yeah, it is very quick and very easy to use.
Two more questions on the Wallet app then. It sounds like you haven't had any cause to be contacting their customer service, but I just wondered if you had any reason to be in touch with the people that make it, Budget Bakers, and
I haven't had any reason to, or nor have there been any features that I particularly wanted that they haven't had. It's kind of done what it says on the box.
And final question is just how much does it cost?
Now that this is the great irony is I can't actually remember. How funny, because
that's
it was before
fine.
I started tracking my expenses. But I will say this: I think it was in the region of $20. The app. And I think that was that's a yearly subscription, and I have a feeling that that was their half price offer. So nearly all apps that I buy, I sign up for the trial period and I try to actually trial them during the trial period to see if I like them. Mm-hmm. And nearly all apps, and this is true of the other app I'm going to talk about later, within about 3 days send you a special 50% off offer. That is pretty inevitable. Yeah, and so I bought the app at that point, and I'm pretty sure that the 50% off was around the $20 mark. And actually, I did have cause to talk to Budget Bakers then, because there was a problem with the link that they sent me for the 50% off. Mm-hmm. And I wrote back to them and they immediately replied and sent me the correct link. So that it was a very brief contact, but that was successful.
And then it was kind of human contact. You were happy with that?
Yeah, it was human contact via email. But it worked. It worked fine. So if you operate in multiple currencies and have a hard time sort of keeping track of how much money you've got where, then Wallet is the app for you.
Okay, so if the Hori Hori knife was kind of a hat tip to our father, I wonder if the next item, the AeroPress, is a little nod to our mum. Who is a coffee fanatic. Tell me, I'll assume listeners are familiar with the AeroPress. Maybe give us a 15-second description, just in case, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, I think that the AeroPress is both a tribute to our mum, who got us both hooked on coffee, but it is also a tribute to Teenage Rebellion, because she does not like AeroPresses. we have both embraced them. In fact, the reason that I have one is because you recommended it to me, and I'm sure that many of your listeners will have come across an AeroPress, but I am surprised how many people who like coffee that I know have not yet come across one. So we affectionately refer to the AeroPress in our house as the Swedish penis enlarger, because it looks a bit like those things that they sell you on late night shopping channels.
You may have to describe one of those for our listeners before you go back to describe.
Okay, so it is it's made of fairly thick plastic. It is a tube, a round tube. That has a little filter, a little plastic filter, into which you can fit a piece of paper or a round piece of metal with holes.
Kind of like a giant syringe, right?
Like a giant syringe, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And then it has another piece that fits down inside that tube that has rubber to make a sort of tight seal that pushes the water and the coffee through. So the way it works is that you put the coffee... and the coffee and boiling hot water into the tube, and then after a minute or so you use the plunger thing to plunge it through. There are more details to how the brewing method works, but the point of it is that for something about the size, the whole set is smaller than a pint glass, I'd say, altogether, all of the paraphernalia, and you get espresso machine quality coffee without using electricity and anything, well, obviously unless you're to boil the water, but without using anything fancy or electronic to make the actual coffee, and the only thing you're using is elbow grease to push it all through the
I guess you can do more. I know that people complain about espresso burning the coffee, so I guess you can do whatever you want with water temperature, etc.
You can do whatever you want with water temperature. There's quite a lot of leeway with the ground of how finely ground the coffee is. I've used kind of all kinds of different grinds, and they all seem to more or less work. If you do it right, then you get quite a nice crema on the top, which is when you get that sort of slightly frothy white stuff on top of the coffee. Frothy white milk, just the from making the coffee itself.
As you do the final kind of push through, there's, when I use mine, there's kind of a hiss of air as it pushes that last bit of air or whatever.
Yeah.
According
to the website, I mean, they would say this, but according to the AeroPress website, it is a very close simulation of what an espresso machine does, but in their opinion it's actually better because of it not burning the coffee and so on.
Interesting. And you, so in terms of coffee flavor, just give us a rundown. What other coffee tools do you have in your house? What are the brewing methods?
Okay, at this time, the only other thing I have in my house is a cafetiere or French press. I have one that our parents gave us. And I actually have to say, I'm going to plug this one because it is a French press made by Thermos, as in the Thermos flask people.
It's the metal
it's
one.
Made of, it's made of metal, so it doesn't break. And it is has a vacuum, it has a vacuum chamber, so it keeps your coffee hot. But I'm the only one who drinks coffee in the house for most. I mean, I only ever make a cafetiere when we have guests over. I'm the only one who drinks coffee every
day. Being in Argentina, Diego drinks
mate, which is the national infusion, which is a kind of slightly bitter tea made of a dried relative of the holly plant called.
I think maybe we should get Diego on an episode to talk about a whole other show on mate.
But anyway, it's entirely different beast. Diego does occasionally drink coffee, but he doesn't consume it every day at home. So I'm usually just making a single serve. So this is perfect for me. If you were making five people, the AeroPress, then it might take you quite a long time. This is ideal for one or two cups of coffee at a time.
Yes, I took our AeroPress for an early spin on holiday and making cups of coffee for four people three times a day. Got a little bit old, but I agree with everything you've said about it. I would just be interested to know, tell me about metal filters and how you find them, and have you compared the metal filter to the paper filter?
Okay, so the reason every time you make a cup of coffee, you have the plastic filter, thick plastic filter, which is part of the AeroPress machinery, mm-hmm. but then that has pretty big holes, so you need to cover that with either a paper filter made of the kind of paper that you would also put in coffee machines. Mm-hmm. AeroPress and other companies sell those. They are circles, exactly the right size to fit in your AeroPress. Mm-hmm. But those are very expensive and here in Argentina and pretty hard to get as well. Although some very fancy coffee bars have recently started offering AeroPressed coffee. So obviously I don't go to those because I can drink it for free in my own home. Although the paper things are quite good because it's much easier to squeeze the coffee through, they offer less resistance, and they are compostable and all of that. Over long term, it would be a complication for me because I'd have to get new ones. So I instead use a reusable metal filter that I have to remember not to compost. I have lost one in the compost, so the next time I bought a set of three. And they come in slightly different sizes in my set of three. I have to say that I have experimented with the different ones and I can't really taste the difference between them. They're interchangeable for me despite having slightly different size holes.
I felt that my metal filter, it felt like the resistance was huge and it felt like it was getting clogged up. So I have a metal filter and I went back fairly quickly to the paper filters. I buy them once a year or so, and the price and access is not an issue for me. But tell me, do the metal filters press okay for you? And is there a way around that problem that I had?
Yeah, I mean, when I lost the last metal one that I then replaced with the pack of three, I had been using that for 2 years without issue. But
at all, like literally, you never scrubbed it, you never had to go through it with a fine metal wire.
No, I don't properly wash any of my coffee making paraphernalia as our mother taught us. I just kind of give it a rinse under the tap and that's it. And I've never had any issues with that, but it is true that it does put up substantially more resistance, and that is a factor in choosing the cup that you're going to put under your AeroPress, because if you're using a metal filter, you can't put a sort of fancy fine porcelain cup under it because the amount of pressure you're going to have to put, or you'll have to use a different vessel to press your coffee into and then put it into your cup, which is not something I'm prepared to do. I want to press straight into my cup.
Because otherwise you could have some sort of coffee catastrophe, high pressure explosion.
Yeah, so I think that you could feasibly break a cup, a fine cup, so I have a pretty thick coffee cup, which also keeps my coffee warm. But that is a factor to take into consideration.
Excellent.
I may stock up on paper filters on my next trip abroad.
Okay, so let's talk about your last tool or combination of tools, which is the Aptiv app and JBL Endurance Sprint Bluetooth headphones. Start with the app.
Okay, so I feel like a gushing fan when I say this, but Aptiv has really changed my life.
Really?
Now, I was skeptical about using an app for any kind of fitness related things. But I am a working mum whose children go to state school here in Argentina, and that's only 4 and a bit hours a day. And I have to pack all of my working life into the time that they're asleep and when they're at school. So I don't have a lot of time for squeezing in necessary but luxurious things like exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, I did have slight exercise habits before subscribing to the Aptiv app. I do a bit of weightlifting when my kids are at their swimming class, and I was a kind of on-off runner, but I would just kind of go out for a run for half an hour and jog around and that's it and come home. Mm-hmm. And I decided to give Aptiv a try to see if it would help me improve my running, because back in the day when I used to run I'm sorry if you can hear my dog, one of my dogs barking in the background, by the way. Back in the day, I did used to do proper running training about 10 years ago at a gym with a trainer who gave me a program. And that was great, and it totally changed my running. But then when I switched gyms and no longer had access to that trainer, my game kind of fell off and life got in the way and all of that sort of thing. What Aptiv does is it provides you with soundtracks that combine music and a trainer talking to you as if you had a personal trainer right there in your headphones. For quite a few different sports.
And
the trainer is a real human. So obviously these are all pre-recorded in studios. Mm-hmm. They do several different sports. So they do outdoor running, treadmill running, elliptical, yoga, meditation. Well, that's not really a sport, is it? Stretching, strength training, boxing. And there's a couple of other things. I use it for running, yoga, and stretching. Basically, occasionally I do some kind of core classes.
And tell me how that works. Yeah, just with the coach. I want to hear. You know, does the coach run harder now or stretch a little bit further?
Okay.
How does that work?
Yeah. So how it works is two things. Okay. It's first of all that it's predicated on the idea that they do not want you looking at your phone or faffing around with your phone while you're doing it,
right,
which I am 100% in favor of. Mm-hmm. So it is audio only. So you play it as if it
is
an audio track.
Yeah, I've had some experiences of doing push-ups and touching my phone with my nose to register repetitions. That doesn't last very long.
Yeah. So this is like you choose what you're going to do, you press play and off you go and that's it. And all you have to do is listen to the instructions. And so, for example, on a typical running class, you'll probably have pretty upbeat music. Each class that you do tells you what genre of music. So you can choose classes based on that. So you have music. The music is generally tailored to the tempo of the kind of run you're
and
doing.
What do you choose?
Well, I actually am doing, at the moment, I'm doing a program, a 10K to half marathon program. So that involves, it's a 12-week program with 4 runs a week, and it's sort of scheduled. So there's 48 classes in the program. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is designed so that on class 48, you are running your half marathon. Mm-hmm. And that particular program has a range of music. So there are some days where it's kind of more poppy electronic, and there are some great classic rock days where I have AC/DC and Deep Purple on my runs, and there are some days where I have a bizarre mix of all of the above. With today I had Northern Soul and Kate Bush and Eminem all in the same playlist.
So kind of pretty,
so
pretty,
as the
yeah,
music,
bit of range,
but there's a lot of kind of chart topping stuff that I have no idea about, but I have been acquiring knowledge on this as I run. So you start off and the runner's like, right, here we are, the coach is, here we are on day one or whatever, we're going to start off at an easy jog, 3, 2, 1, off we go. And then they remind you about your form, and after about 8 minutes she's like, right, today we're going to do intervals, so let's pick up the pace, we're now going to do sprint intervals, and she tells you what you're going to do. And then, for example, you might be sprinting for a minute and then jogging for a minute, sprinting for a minute, jogging for a minute if it's a sprint day.
Yeah.
Another day might just be a long, easy run to work on endurance. So there's all kinds of different targeted running programs, running classes and running programs. So the classes fit in within programs.
And you've noticed a difference in your run. Like, so what difference so does Aptiv make? Presumably you could make a playlist and go running yourself.
First of all, there's no way I would ever bother to do intervals by myself. I mean, that is a fact of the matter. And I know that there are people out there who are very disciplined and who would get a special digital timer and plan their... I don't want to think about it. I just want someone else to think about it and tell me what to do and do it. So that's what I have to do. I just have to put on my headphones and say, okay, it's day 4 in my program, and hit play and know that I'll be back in the house in half an hour and having done a whole load of intervals in the middle. I have already run further and faster than I ever have. I've been using Aptiv for about 4 or 5 months now, and not only have I stuck with it, I've been adding more and more things to it. So now, on top of my running program, I do yoga every morning. I do stretching after my running. If I finish lifting weights at the gym and I still have a bit of time, I throw in a quick 5 or 10 minute abs class, that kind of thing. So it's great because the classes when you open the app, you can either go to a sort of long program you're doing, like the marathon training, or you can just look for individual classes and you can filter by duration of the class, type of music, the trainer, because they have a whole load of different trainers and you start to get to know the voices and the styles of the different trainers.
So you can just kind of say, I've got 5 minutes,
you can filter by all of those kinds of things. So I now find myself, for example, there's that kind of 3 o'clock spot in my afternoon where my energy slumps. And in the past, I might have, I don't know, spent some time on social media and
had a donut,
half an hour later still there, or gone and eaten something or whatever. And now I do a quick stretching class, or I do a 10-minute abs class. And that kind of wakes me up and breaks up my work day. And then I get back to work feeling refreshed and energized.
So how do you carry your phone with you? This is on Android, correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's on iOS because, I have an Android phone. Uh-huh. I got it through through the Play Store. As with Wallet, Aptiv is more expensive. It's about $100 a year, but I paid 40-something through
using
one of these
special
intro
price
offers.
Offer.
The only thing is it's only available in some countries in the world, and it's not available in Argentina. So in order to download it here through the Play Store, I had to use a VPN, which is where they kind of route your system through.
Yeah.
You temporarily route your system through another country so that the Play Store thinks you're in the US or Australia or whatever.
And
so
how do you carry your phone with you when you run?
Yeah. So when I run on the short days, I use one of those arm holders. The one that I have is by a company called Portholic altogether.
Kind of neoprene thing?
Yeah, it's one of those neoprene ones. I've had several of these. This one is infinitely better than all the other ones I've had. I'm very impressed with the quality. It cost me about £10, less, €10, I think. And a friend brought it back for me from an overseas trip. And it's excellent, very, very good.
And in short time, you stop kind of noticing it, do you?
I've stopped noticing it because I don't have long wiry headphones plugged into it anymore, because I also have recently acquired some Bluetooth sports headphones, which have
time's getting on, but I really want to talk about these headphones. The JBL Endurance Sprint Bluetooth headphones. I have a Flip speaker from JBL, which I've been delighted with for the last couple of years. Yeah, tell me about the headphones.
Okay, so I wanted some Bluetooth headphones that had good reviews in terms of them staying on your ears for running, and that the battery lasted for a reasonable amount of time. So I only charge these ones once a week, but that weren't massively expensive, because in Argentina, street crime is a thing. So I don't want to be running around with $200 Bluetooth headphones on my head that I'm going to be worried about someone stealing. So these cost
You could go running with your Hori Hori knife.
Yes, well, these ones cost less than $40, which was that I was prepared to spend that much on them, and they're great. The only thing that I perhaps don't like about them is they're so good at not falling off your ears that they really have a sort of vacuum seal that blocks off the outside world, perhaps slightly too much. So I have to run with things at quite a low volume so that I don't get run over.
So this was going to be my question, because I have issues with headphones falling out, in-ear ones. Just even for washing the dishes, I put headphones in, and some earphones stay in, some don't, but these work well, you say?
Yeah, these work very well. So they go over your ear and into your ear, but
with a little hook. How does that work?
Yeah, they have hooks, but the thing that keeps them in their ear is they have this kind of twist lock system. It's slightly hard to explain, but it's like you put them on pointing forward and then twist them back over your ear, and that kind of screws them into your ear, giving this vacuum effect that I mentioned. So it is a little bit disconcerting at first. You have to get used to how much sound they block out, which is a lot, basically.
Right.
But they have not done anything even vaguely like wanting to fall out of my ear, even on my sprint days.
And that's pretty impressive, hey. So what's the Bluetooth difference for you? Why Bluetooth in particular?
Because I used to get tangled up in my cable all the time, and it was a total pain. That's the difference.
But it's a big difference. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. I mean, these have a cable that connects the two parts, but that cable goes round the back of my neck. No, it is a massive difference. And if, for example, when I'm at the gym and I'm not using Aptiv, I'm wanting to listen to a podcast, I leave my phone in my bag or on the table in the gym, and I could be on the other side of the gym lifting weights, and I don't need to have my phone on me.
That's pretty good.
You can answer calls on them and all of that, but I mean, I don't use it for that.
That's what I was going to ask. So you can, it does have voice. It does have a mic of some kind.
Yeah.
Okay. And so for example, when you and I exchange WhatsApp voice messages, are you sometimes wearing these headphones, or is that mainly just your phone?
I haven't set them up to talk into WhatsApp. I've listened to messages on them, and they work fine for that. But then, their control function, they just have a sort of touch sensitive side, but it's pretty limited. Like when you're listening to a podcast or something, you can pause it by touching them. And if you do some complicated taps, you can theoretically move to the next track, but I never remember how many taps.
But for stopping, starting, control volume.
Yeah, it had the same. It has volume control, but that's kind of about the limits of what I want to do with.
But that all works. That works when you're sweaty. Yeah. In the gym, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They're also showerproof and fall in puddle proof. They're not, you know, you can't go swimming in them, but if you drop them, fully immerse them in a puddle, I can't remember how many minutes it said on the box, but I mean, you can leave them in the puddle for a couple of minutes and nothing will happen to them.
Okay. Okay, and I noticed on Amazon, for some reason, what looked like the same Bluetooth headphones, one set was yellow and had a 4-point-something star rating, and another set had 3. I guess these are just different entries. I just wanted to know, is there any particular reason why yellow JBL headphones would be better, and what color are yours?
No, and I bought these, a friend brought them back from Spain, so I bought these on the Amazon.es website, where the yellow and the red, I think, had the same rating. I bought the red purely because they were in stock. That was the basis for my.
And is that red trim, or the whole thing is red?
The whole thing's red, so it's quite good. They're easy to find in a dark bag.
And then they're two sides connected by a wire. Is that kind of how they work?
That's right. Yep. There's two kind of round the ear hooks, and they have kind of magnetic-y things on them, which is actually quite useful, because you can kind of clip them round things and clip them onto each other, and they don't seem to get tangled.
So do they clip around your neck, like if you take them off? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, you could take them off your ear and clip them around your neck. Technically,
if you were worried,
not something that I do, but you could.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, Fee, thanks so much for sharing. All about these tools. Time's getting on, and I know you have stuff to get on with. So I think we'll wrap it up there. I think we'll do another session, because I know you have some more tools from the world of translating that
I do. Sort of made I do. A big I do. Indeed. So I'll look forward to talking about them another day.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Take
All
it
right,
easy.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.